Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Shabbos daf Kuf Mem Beis. We are going to start from the beginning of the 21st parak of Maseches Shabbos on daf Kuf Mem Aleph Mem Beis. Today's shir is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. It's also sponsored by Zechus Rufus Shlema for Mayor Yosef Ben Yita by his children and grandchildren. It's also sponsored by friends of Rabbi Dr. Brian Galbit, Zichrono Levracha, in commemoration of his first yard site, Harav Baruch Tzvi Ben Reuven Nassan, Zichrono Levracha, the Neshama Shtevin Aliyah. Dr. Galbit was what you would call a hero of the daf. A very, very inspiring person, his holy neshama should have an aliyah. And also sponsored by Joseph Streicher in honor of his birthday, which is today. So happy birthday, and many more happy, healthy years. So we are holding on. Again, we're going to pick up at the beginning of the parak on daf Kuf Mem Aleph Amud Beis, and the Mishnah is going to discuss carrying mukta items together with non-mukta items. If you're holding a child and the child is holding something that's mukta, is that a problem? Then the Gemara is going to talk about, and what about as far as hotza'a is concerned? If you're allowed to carry one item out, but there's another item that's connected to it, is that going to be a problem? The Gemara is then going to talk about, because the Mishnah discusses also, tikkun of truma mixed with chulin. If you have a truma that's mixed together with chulin, and it's batel, but you have to remove some piece of it, are you allowed to do that on Shabbos? Then the Mishnah on the Beis is going to talk about removing a muktzah item from a non-muktzah item. Like, let's say you have a rock on top of a barrel, and you want to access the contents of the barrel, so how do you remove the rock from the barrel, or something that's on a pillow and you want to access the pillow? So the Gemara is going to talk about those cases as well. So let's begin at the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Mem Aleph Amud Beis. No talad mespino of Evan Biado. A person can take his can carry his child, and again we're talking about muktza over here, even though the child has a rock in his hand, and we don't assume that that's considered that the father is moving a rock, which is muktza v'kalkola v'Evan Betochen. Similarly, you can carry a basket even though there might be a rock inside the basket, and we don't say that you're carrying a rock and therefore you're handling a rock, which is muktza u'metaltlin truma tameya im hatahara v'im hachulin. And a person is also allowed to handle truma tamea, which is also mukta, because truma tahora can be eaten by a kohen. Truma tamea has to be destroyed, so it's a asr ba'achila, it's a mukta. So you're allowed to carry it together with truma tahora, which is not mukta, and together with peros that are chulin that are also not mukta. So you can carry these items together. Now, once we mention truma, so the Mishnah shifts to a different issue relating to truma. The halacha is if truma gets mixed in with chulin, the truma is not batal barov. The entire taroves is going to be usher for a non-kohen to eat. But if you have 100 times the chulin corresponding to the truma, then we assume that that as long as you take the amount of truma that had fallen in from the taroves, then the rest is going to be mutter for a non-kohen to eat. So our Mishnah now discusses, what if you have one sa'a of truma that falls into 100 se'in of chulin, where now it's all going to be mutter, you just have to remove one sa'a from the mixture. Are you allowed to remove that one sa'a from the mixture on Shabbos? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, af ma'alinus ha'meduma be'echad ha'meah. Rabbi Yehuda says, yes, you're allowed to do that, you're allowed to remove that one sa'a in order to then eat the rest of it on Shabbos, and we don't assume that that's considered that you're being misaking the rest of the rest of the food, because you're not allowed to be misaking on Shabbos. It's a gezerah that you might do a tikkun that involves a malacha as well. Generally, you're not allowed to be misaking. So the achronim asked the question, and wait a second, our Mishnah was talking about muktza. Why in the world does Rabbi Yehuda pipe in over here about tikkun on Shabbos? And also the lashon Rabbi Yehuda Omer af malin, af implies, oh, not only what we said until this point in the Mishnah, but even something else, which makes it sound like it's on the same topic, but it's really on an entirely different topic. So what kind of lashon of af? So in the Sefer Or Gadol on the Mishnayos, he points out that Rabbi Yehuda is also talking about muktzah, because it's harovis of truma with 100 times its amount of chulin in the possession of Yisrael. One might have thought is muktzah, because he can't. The Yisrael is not allowed to eat it. The non-kohen is not allowed to eat it. So truma biyad Yisrael is not muktzah. mutzah because it's right to give to a kohen, but that's only because it's right to give to him. But truma that's mixed in with chulin, where you can't give all, you're not going to give all of it to a kohen anyway. You just need to remove one sa'a. That's the amount you're going to give to a kohen. The rest you're going to keep for yourself. So there's a hava amina that it's mukzah. So that's Rabbi Yehuda saying that no, it's not mukzah. You know why? Because you're allowed to be misakin it on Shabbos. You can take that sa'a out on Shabbos, and therefore you have a use for it on Shabbos. So this is a mukzah related issue because of Rabbi Yehuda's kula. That's why it's not a mukzah problem on Shabbos. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to discuss carrying a baby that or a child that's holding an item that itself is going to be mukzah. But now, in the Mishnah, we spoke about it from a mukzah perspective. Now we're going to talk about it from a hotza'ah perspective. That you're not allowed to carry from Rishus Yachad to Rishus Harabim. What if you're carrying something that's holding something? So Amarava, hoti tinok chai. If you're carrying a live child, v'kis talibit savaro, and he has a wallet that's hanging around his neck. Chayiv mishum kis, you're chayiv for carrying the wallet, but not the child. Tinok meis v'kis talilo b'tzavaro v'rachman al-tzlan, it's a deceased child, and you're carrying the child, and there's a wallet around the child's neck. Pater, you're pater from a korban chatos for both, you know, for the child and for the kiss, meaning it's not going to be chiv daraisa, but pater aval asr, it's going to be asr midrabanan only. So says Gemara, tinok chay v'kis talilo b'tzavaro chayiv mishum kis. We said in the Rava just said, we just commented that if you're carrying a live child and he's got a wallet around his neck, that you're chayiv for carrying the wallet. Well, wait a second, chayiv nami mishum tinok. Why aren't you chayiv for carrying the child? So Rava could Rabbi Nassan sphere the Amar chay no seis atzmel. No, it must be that Rava assumes like Rabbi Nassan, who we had earlier in Daf Tzadi Dalit, who says that whenever you're carrying a living being from Rishus Rabin to Rishus Yachad or vice versa, we assume that you're not really carrying the living person. The living person is carrying himself, because when you carry a human being, they shift their weight and they make themselves easier to carry, so they're aiding you in the carrying, and therefore you're not chayiv on the child when you carry a tinok chay on Shabbos. Now, when you carry a tinok, even the chacham are moda that you're pater because a chay no seis atzmo. The only machlokas we had about a chay no seis atzmo back in Daf Tzadi Dalit is if you're carrying a behema, chaya va'of. Do we say in such a case, hachai no seis atzmo, when you're carrying an animal? But if it's a human being, everyone agrees, hachai no seis atzmo. So the Ritva points out that when the Gemara says that Rav is going ki Rabbi Nassan, it means like the svara that Rabbi Nassan suggested. But in Achinami, it's not only the sheet of Rabbi Nassan. The Rabbanan also agree, la halacha, that everybody would apply hachai no seis atzmo when it comes to carrying a tinok. So ask the Gemara, wait a second, so you're not going to be chayiv for carrying the tinok because he's carrying himself. So why don't we say that the wallet that's around his neck is batal to him, and therefore you should be potter on the wallet as well? Milo Tnan, after all, don't we have a Mishnah inside the Gimel and Beis that has a chai b'mita, that if you're carrying a living person on a bed, potter af al amita, that since you're potter for carrying the living person, because a chai no seis atzmo, you're potter on the bed also, shamita tfelelo, because the bed is considered to be secondary to the person, it's batal to the person. So why don't we say the same thing about the wallet around the child's neck? Says Mar Mita Lagabe Chai Mevatile, Kis Lagabe Tinok La Mevatile, because a bed for a person, people are Mevatilit, meaning we assume that it's there only to be Meshamish the person, and therefore it's Tafel to the person. But a wallet that a child is carrying, we do not assume that you're Mevatilit to the child, because he doesn't need the wallet, it's just something that he plays with, and therefore it's not considered something that's automatically Batel or to the child or Tafel to the child. Furthermore, Rava had said, Tinok Meis, if you're carrying Rachman al Tzlan, a deceased child, V'kis Tali Lo B'Tzavaru, and he's got a wallet around his neck, then Pater. You're Pater from Karban Chatos. Says Rava, L'chayim Mishum Tinok. Why are you Pater? You should be Chayim for carrying the child. You don't have the Svar of Achay No Seyas Atzmo anymore. So you should be Chayim. So Rava Krabi Shimon Tzvira Lei, Da'amar Kom Lach, Shein Etzrich L'Gufa, Pater Aleh. Rav is assuming, like the sheet of Rabbi Shimon, that a person is pater from Malach Shein Tzrich L'Gufa. And Malach Shein Tzrich L'Gufa is defined, at least according to Rashi, as doing a Malacha, but not for the purpose that it was done for in the Mishkan. And normally when you're Motzi, it's because you wanted that item to be somewhere else. As opposed to when you're being Motzi at Tinok, you don't need the actual Hotza'ah. You don't need that the baby be outside. You're just trying to remove it from being inside. It's not that you need it to be wherever you're bringing it to. It's just that it's unseemly to have a dead body lying around your house, so you just want it out of your house. You want to remove move it from where it is currently located. So that's considered Mlach Shein Shrich L'Gufa. The Bali Atosel say throughout Shas, and no, Mlach Shein Shrich L'Gufa means it's a situation you never wanted to be in the first place. So this would certainly qualify as a situation one would never want to be in the first place. You would never want to be in a situation where he has to deal with a deceased child. So that becomes a Mlach Shein Shrich L'Gufa. According to Rashi's definition of Shein Shricha L'Gufa, it's a little bit difficult because if you're taking the child out to bury, so you do want to take it to a certain spot. If you're the one that's responsible for burying the child, so it's a tzorach hames, and why is that called the Mlach Shein Shricha L'Gufa? Also, taking the child may be a Mlach Shein Shricha L'Gufa, but what about the wallet? The wallet's around his neck, so that you should be chayav for. So the Ritva explains within Shitas Rashi that since you're so mitzta'er about the Misa Satinok, you're mevatel the wallet to the child. Normally we say, no, the wallet's not batel to the child because it's not really tafel, it's not really something that the child needs. Over here, the last thing on your mind is the wallet, meaning you're dealing with a dead child. So the last thing, all of a sudden, all of the money in the world doesn't seem like it means anything to you. So the kiss that's tully around the child's neck is going to be completely batel to the child. People tend to lose any sense of value of physical or material things when dealing with even sometimes the spiritual things when they're just very distraught. Someone told Rav Pam's grandson told me that when they buried Rav Pam Zichron Lebracha, they buried him with his Mishnah Brura because he so loved learning the Sifrei Chavetz Chaim, particularly the Mishnah Brura. So they thought it was appropriate to put the Mishnah Brura in with him. And then they realized afterwards it had his notes on the side of the Mishnah Brura. Can you imagine the value of such a Mishnah Brura that Rav Pam used every single day, the Mishnah Brura? But at that moment, you're not thinking like that. At that moment, the person is not thinking about the value of the other items. They're just thinking about the magnitude of the loss. Okay, so now the Gemara goes back to what Rava said initially. Tanan, not l'adnas minova evan biyadar. Our Mishnah said that as far as muktza is concerned, you can carry a child that's holding a rock, and it's not considered that you're being metaltel the rock itself, which is muktza. So from there we see that if you're motzi a tinok and he's carrying and he has the wallet around his neck, it's not considered that you're carrying the wallet. So isn't that a kasha on Rava who says that you're chayiv for carrying the wallet? Meaning if Lagabe Muktza, we say that the rock in the baby's hand is not considered to be something that you're being metaltel. So shouldn't we say as far as Hotza'a that the wallet that the baby's carrying is not considered something to be? It shouldn't be considered something that you are being motzi. So Amri Dvei Rabbi Yanai. So by the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Yanai, they explained that someone who carries a child it's considered that you're carrying whatever is in the child's hand as well. And as far as Muktza is concerned, the same would be true. But we made an exception over here when it comes to carrying the child who's holding a rock in his hand, because it's talking about specifically Betinok Sheyesh L'Gagu and Alaviv. We're talking about a kid who's really upset and he really needs his father to calm him down and to hold him. So when it comes to the issue of Tiltul Muktza, the Chachamim were Mekil on the issue of Tiltul Muktza in order to calm the child down. But in a Chinami, it would be the same problem of an Issur Muktza as it is by the Issur of Hotza'a. And you would not normally be allowed to carry the child that's holding something in his hand, that's holding a muktza item in his hand. So Ihach, he says, well, wait a second, we're talking about a kid that needs his father to calm him down. Ma'iriya Evan, Afilu Dina Nami. Why does the Tana have to say that he's holding a rock? Even if he's holding a coin in his hand, we should allow carrying him. And you're going to tell me the Tana says a rock, and Hua Din Dinar, Alama Amarava Lo Shanu Ela Evan, Aval Dinar Asr. And don't tell me that it's just giving an example, but it applies to a dinar as well. Rava said not that way. Rava said that we only allow carrying the child if he's holding a rock, but not if he's holding a dinar. So answers the Gemara, Evan enough lo asiyas avula suye. Dinar enough lo asiyavula suye. You know, the kid is holding a rock. If he drops the rock, you're going to leave it there. Nothing's going to come of that. So the Chachamim are making that you're allowed to hold the child when he's holding a rock. But if he's holding money and he drops the money, then we're concerned that you might come to pick up the money. And Rashi adds that not only is it usur to take the child because of this chash, you're not even allowed to hold the child by the hand when he's walking and he's carrying a dinar in his hand, because the same concern is still going to exist. He might drop the dinar, and then you're going to pick up the dinar. So Rashi holds it, you're not even allowed to walk the child holding his hand if he's carrying a dinar. However, the Ramban disagrees. The Ramban says, no, when you're lifting a child who has a dinar, then we made a gezeira that you might come to pick up the dinar if he drops it. Because you might say, well, if I'm allowed to hold the kid while he's holding a dinar, so what difference does it make if I'm holding the child who's holding the dinar, or if I'm holding the child in my right hand and the dinar in my left hand? But when you're not even carrying the child, you're just walking, holding his hand, says the Ramban, there's no such concern that a person is going to make such a mistake. The Bali Atosis raises a different question. Who cares that you're going to be metalto the dinar be a dayan? We already said that we're mekel on Yisrim Drabanan to calm the child down. Yeshel gagum alaviv, so we allow you to be metalto muksa. So the worst that's going to happen over here is the Yisrim Drabanan of the tiltal of the dinar, which is muksa. So Tosis says, no, we don't allow tiltal be a dayan. Because Yeshel Gagum Alavim, because the kid needs to be calmed down, we allow Tiltal by carrying the child, who in turn is carrying Mutsa. Tiltal Biadayim is a much more direct violation, and that we would not allow even when he has Gagum Alavim. Tanya Kavasid Rava, we have a Bryce that says, just like Rava, that if you're carrying a live child with a wallet around his neck, that you're chayiv on the wallet, hamotzi kelev mekupalim, if a person is carrying his clothing from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, and they're folded up, menachem al kseifo, and he's just carrying them like a folded laundry, v'sandal v'tabosu biyado, or he's carrying his shoes or his rings in his hand, not wearing them, that's the point. Chayiv, so you're chayiv for being motzi these items, because it's not derech malbush, he's carrying them. But v'mhayim alubash ben, but if he was wearing them and he carried them out derech malbush, then potter. Then it's going to be potter because they're tafel to the person. Hamotzi adam v'kelev alav, if you carry a person who has kelim on him that he's wearing derech malbush, v'sandal v'braglav, he has shoes on his feet, v'tabosu biyadav, his rings he's wearing on his finger, potter. The guy who's carrying the person is potter for the hotzah, because the person himself is a chay nosei asatzmo. And as far as the clothing, that's tafel to the person. But if the guy that you were carrying was holding all of his clothing, then chayiv, then you'd be chayiv for carrying the fellow who's holding all of his clothing, because then they do not become tafel to him. And that's exactly what Rava was saying, that if you carry a person, it's considered that you're carrying the items that he's carrying as well. So when you carry a child and he has kis bitzavaro, it's as if you're carrying the kis as well, it's as if you're carrying the wallet as well. So this price is a very strong raya to Rava. We then said that if you have a basket with a rock inside of it, so the Gemara explains, why is the basket itself not asr b'tiltal? If the basket has a rock on it, shouldn't that make it a basl dover asr, and the basket itself should be muksa? No, the basket's full of peros, and therefore the basket is a basis l'davra mutar u l'davra asr, and therefore the basket's not muksa. So says Gemara, but still, why are you allowed to carry the rock agav the basket? V'lishtinu, why don't you throw the peros out of the basket onto the ground? V'nishti le'evet, and then you could throw the rock, you could empty the rock out of the basket also, because you just turn the whole basket upside down. V'nikatinu biyadayim, and then you could pick up the peros and put them back in the basket and leave the rock on the ground, and you have to be schlepping around the rock on Shabbos. So says Rav to Rabbi Layam Rav, it's like Rabbi Layam Rav taught in a different context. V'peros amitanfin, we're talking about the kind of peros that if they were to go on the ground, they would become ruined. They're soft, they're cooked, or something like that. So they're going to go in the dirt, and they're going to be ruined. So here also, we're talking about such peros, and that's why it's not in the Eitzah. So says Narinu Nu'ure, okay, why don't you just shake the basket a little bit to get the peros to be removed from the oven to one side of the basket, and then you could get rid of the oven on its own just by shaking it out of the basket. So why are you allowed to carry the whole basket with the rock? Shouldn't you figure out a way to empty the rock out of the basket without emptying the peros out of the basket? Some Rav Chibarashi, Amarava, Hacha b'kalkala p'chusa askinan de'evin gufa nasdof in the kalkala. Now, over here we're talking about a basket that's partially broken on the side, and the rock is filling that hole. So the evin becomes part of the basket. And if you were to throw it out, then the basket would be useless. It's not going to carry the peros anymore, and that's why it's not an eitzah to get rid of the Evan. There's a discussion in the Rishonim. Is this an addition to the answer that we just gave before, that it's Bepteru Satinofin, or we don't even need that answer anymore? Meaning Ella, once we say that the rock is necessary for the basket, so we don't even need to talk about Peros that are otherwise going to be ruined. The Mishnah said that you can be metaltel truma tameya, which is muktza, together with truma tahora, which is not muktza. So Rav Chista qualifies. Lo shanu ella she tahora lemata utameya lemayla. The Rav Chista says that this din in the Mishnah is only if the truma tahora is on the bottom of the kli and the truma tameya is on the top of the kli, and you need to access the truma tahora. So you, there's no way to just remove it biadayim, because the stuff on top is all muktza. So now you're allowed to be metaltel the whole kli with the truma tameya and the truma tahora in it. Aval tahora lemayla utameya lemata. But if the truma tahora is on the top and the tameya is on the bottom, shakal le tahora shakal le tameya. So you want the truma tahora, just pick it up off the top of the kli. You don't carry the whole kli. So it says Gemara, v'ki tahora lemata nami. And even when the Torah is on the bottom, also we have an Eitzah, Lishtinu v'lin Katinu. Why can't you just tip over the Kli, empty out all the Truma that's in it, the Torah, the Temeah, and then pick up the Truma Torah and put it back in, and then you don't have to carry the Truma Temeah around. So I'm Rabbi Loi, I'm Rav. This was the original context where Rabbi Loi said in the name of Rav, the Peros have been time for Naskin, and they were talking about the kind of Peros that would get ruined if you were to try to do that. So Meisvei asked the Gemara Vayter, Metaltim Truma Temeah im HaTorah, you're allowed to be Metaltim Truma Temeah, which is Muksa together with Truma Torah, ve'im HaChulin, and together with Chulin Bein, Shein Torah Temeah Lema So we just have a beferish of Brisa against Rav Chista, where it says in the Brisa that it doesn't matter what's on top and what's on the bottom of the kli, whether it's the Temeya on top Torah on the bottom or vice versa. So it says, well, no, I'm Rav Chista, Masnis L'Tzorach Gufo, Brisa L'Tzorach Mekomo. Maybe it's not a kasha on me. Maybe they're talking about two different circumstances. Our Mishnah that I touched up to say is only talking about where the Torah is Lamata. That's when you need the Guf, the actual Truma Torah, in order to eat it. So in such a case, if the tahora is lemaila and the tameya is lemata, we're not going to allow you to be metaltel it together with the tameya, because you could just be notel biyadav and bring it to the table and eat it that way without being metaltel the tameya. But the Brice is talking about where you need the makom, so you need to get rid of whatever is there. So it doesn't make a difference where the truma tahora is and where the truma tameya is. You need to clear out the space, and if that's the case, you're going to be allowed to be metaltel both of them at once in the basket. So ask the Gemara, since it's a Tzorach Mekomo, Rav Chista's Moda, in the case of Tzorach Mekomo, that it doesn't make a difference what's on top, what's on the bottom, so my Duchy de Rav Chista look Masnis L'Tzorach Gufo. Why would he dafka touch up the Mishnah? It works. His explanation of the Mishnah works, that the Mishnah is talking about where it's L'Tzorach Gufo, and therefore the Mishnah is only talking about where the Truma Torah is on the bottom. But why make such a Nukimta? Just say the Mishnah is talking about where it's Tzorach Mekomo, and then the Mishnah could just be read simply. You're allowed to carry the basket. I don't care what's where. I don't care if the Torah on top, Temeah on the bottom. Why make such an ukimta in the Mishnah that then has to be so limiting? So Amarav Masnis and Kavase Daika. He thought the Mishnah is meduyak this way. The Ketani Sefer, because the Sefer of the Mishnah, meaning the next Mishnah, says Ma'ol Shalakar. If you have money that's on the pillow, Minaris Akar Ve'Noflos. You shake the pillow off, and the money falls off. Amarav Arbuchano. Amarav Yochan Lo Shanu El Tzorach Gufo. Avol Tzorach Mekamo Metatlo Va'Odin Alav. That's only when it's Tzorach Gufo, but it's when it's Tzorach Mekomo, you need the place where the pillow is, so it's not going to help to shake the money off of the pillow, because then the spot is still going to have money on it. If you need the Mekomo, you remove the whole thing. Umi the Seifa, the Tzorach Gufo. So if the Seifa, we already made Rukimta, the next line in the Mishnah is the Tzorach Gufo, Reishanami, the Tzorach Gufo. That's why it's just the thought that it's most logical that our Mishnah is also talking about a case of the Tzorach Gufo, and if that's the case, you have to make the Rukimta that the Mishnah is only talking about where the Truma Tahor is on the bottom and the Truma Tmeya is on the top. Rabbi Yudah Omer Av Malin. Then we said Rabbi Yudah says that if you have a Taroves of Truma together with 100 times its volume of chulin, you're allowed to remove that amount of truma that had fallen in. V'amai, how come misakein? So ask the Gemara, why are you allowed to do that? Isn't this a violation of being misakein the peros? Because the peros are not mutter to you until you remove this sa'ah. So Gemara has three answers. Answer number one, says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda Krabi Eliezer, maybe he's assuming like Rabbi Eliezer. Da'amar truma bi'ina Be'ina Machta, that the Truma is considered to be as if it's standing on its own and separate from all the chulin, and therefore you're not being misakin anything. You're just taking out the truma that's already there, but it's not being misakin the chulin, because we don't view it as a taroves, as if it's all mixed together. We view the truma as if it's standing independent of the chulin. Where do we see Rabbi Elazar hold such a thing? Ditnan saw truma shnafel pachos mimeya. Let's say a saw of truma falls into less than 100 times its volume of chulin. V'nidmu'u, and now the entire taroves becomes what's called meduma, where the whole thing is going to be also for a zar. And then once of that mixture fell into more chulin. So how do you do the math now? Rabbi Elazar Omer medamas kitrumas vadai, that it's medamea, ruins the second taroves as if it were truma vadai, as if you measure against the full volume of the amount that fell into the second taroves. And Lacham say no, if it fell into one saw of truma fell into 50 sin of chulin, and then one saw of that mixture fell into another 50 sin of chulin, you assume what had just fallen into the second 50 sin of chulin was 1/50th truma. It wasn't a whole saw of truma, it was a 50th of a saw of truma. But what do you see? That Rabbi Eliezer holds that we view the saw of truma as having been removed in its entirety and now moving over to the second taroves, which means that in the first taroves we don't view it by percentage. We view it as if the truma is intact somewhere, and therefore in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda holds like Rabbi Eliezer that the truma that's mixed in is considered to be independent, and when you have 100 times of chulin connected that truma, it's considered as if you're just removing the truma that's already there, and the rest is chulin. You're not being misakin anything. You're just separating out what is full truma and what is full chulin. So it says Gemara, no, but still that's not going to explain our Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah. You find that Rabbi Elazar holds such a thing l'chumra, that you could say we view it as if the truma is fully intact. That's a chumra when it comes to a second taroves of meduma. But over here, it's going to be a big kula to say that you're allowed to be misakin on Shabbos. So maybe he wouldn't go that far. So Ella says the Gemara, second explanation of the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Who da amar Rabbi Shimon? It must be Rabbi Yehuda's holding like Rabbi Shimon, that even the kula, we view the truma that's mixed in as if it's totally independent. Where do we find Rabbi Shimon holds such a thing? It's a Mishnah, Mesechus Trumos. Saw a truma shenafel lemeya. If you have one saw of truma that falls into 100 saw of chulin and it gets totally mixed together, so the halacha is you have to take that saw from the taroves and the rest will be mutter for a non kohen. Lo hispik lag bia ad shenafla acheres. But then before you remove that one saw that you have to give to the kohen, another saw falls in. Harezu asura. Now the whole thing is going to be asur to a zar of Rabbi Shimon Matir. And Rabbi Shimon says, no, just take out the two saws of truma that fell in, and then the rest is going to be mutter. So apparently Tanakama holds that the truma that's mixed in is not considered to be standing there independently. It's totally mixed in, and therefore when an additional saw falls in, it's mitzdarif with the first saw, and you no longer have a 100-to-1 ratio of chulin to truma, because now you have two sin of truma for your 100 sin in of chulin. So the taroves is going to be asur. But Rabbi Shimon holds that the truma that fell in is considered to be standing there independently, and the chulin is therefore independent of it. So the second saw that falls in fell into 100 sa'ah of chulin that are standing there independently, and therefore it becomes batel, and it's not mitzdaref with the first sa'ah of truma that had fallen in. So the taroves is going to be mutter for a zar as long as you remove both sin of truma. So Rabbi Shimon holds that even the kula, you see, we say even to say the kula, we view them as if they're totally independent. Umimai, how do you know that that's the case? That's the basis for Rabbi Shimon's shita. Dil mahasam pakam ifli. Maybe that machlok is a totally different machlokas. Tanakama savar avgav the nafl bazach rezak command the nafl basach has done me. It's just that the Tanakama views two sin of truma that fell one after the other as if they went in at the same time. Vahalacham shenafla, vahalacham shenafla, and therefore each one fell into only 50 sin of chulin, so they're not going to be batel. Rabbi Shimon savar kamaisa batel b'meya, vahati batel b'meya v'chad. Now Rabbi Shimon says, no, you view it as each moment of time, that one saw of truma fell into 100 400 sin of chulin, it's now batel. Now the whole thing is chulin. It's just a chumra that we required to take a sa out and give it to a kohen, but the whole thing is chulin. Then when the second sa fell in, it fell into 101 sin of chulin, because we view the whole thing as being chulin. But even according to Rabbi Shimon, it's not going to be mutter until you take out the sheer truma that had fallen in. So if you're a malah b'shabbos, it might be considered to be a misakein, because you're not allowed to eat it until you actually take out the amount of truma that fell in. But that could be going even according to Rabbi Shimon, that it would be a violation of misakein. So don't tell me that Rabbi Yehuda holds like Rabbi Shimon and therefore he's home free. So says Gemara that we need a third explanation of Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. Elohuda amar ki Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. It must be that Rabbi Yehuda assumes like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. The Tanya Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar omer, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar talks about a case of truma that gets mixed in with 100 sin of chulin, where the tarov is going to be aser for a non-kohen until you remove that amount of truma. That what you can do is no sin ein of bitzad ze va'ochel mitzad acher, that you could just place your eyes on one side of the taroves and say, oh yeah, that's where the truma is, and I'm going to eat from the other side. Meaning you don't even need to actually physically take the truma out of the taroves. Just by looking at one side and saying, yeah, that's going to be what I'm going to designate as the truma, and the other side you're allowed to eat from. So therefore, when you're malah b'shabbos, you're not really being masak in anything, because you didn't need to lift it out on Shabbos. You could have just done it with your eyes. So the Gemara asks on that, we said that Rabbi Yehuda says, like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, that we do find somewhere else Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda about this. Does Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar hold like Rabbi Yehuda that you're allowed to take it out on Shabbos? But we find elsewhere that Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda says you're allowed to take out the one saw of Truma on Shabbos. But Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar omer, nosin in b'tzad zeh v'ochum b'tzad acher, that you're not allowed to physically take it out. You're only allowed to be nosin in of b'tzad zeh, to do it all b'machshava. But to remove it on Shabbos, since you could just do it by looking at it, to actually physically remove it, it's going to be asir. So since Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar himself disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda, you can't say that Rabbi Yehuda derived his shita to take out the truma on Shabbos from the mixture from Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. So we're back to our kasha. So says you're right. He doesn't agree with Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, but Rabbi Dadi from Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. He takes the idea of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar and then takes it one step further than Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar was willing to take it. Meaning Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar had the idea that you could be nosin in b'tzad zeh and machshava alone is enough to separate out the truma from the chulin. But Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar stopped right there and said, and therefore only use machshava, don't utilize anything beyond machshava. But Rabbi Yehuda was willing to go a step further and to say you can even go beyond machshava. Now the Tosos Rid brings a raya that you could be mafresh trumos machshava even from tevel, that even by tevel da'araisa and even lechad, meaning that Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar is 100% in on the idea of doing things with Makshava. And Tosfos writes that according to Rashi, you're even allowed to eat without a Maisa Afrasha, and it's mutter even b'shtika, just by being nosin in b'tzad zeh, ochel b'tzad acher, because the Pasuk says, v'nechshav lechem trumaschem. And Tosfos quotes another Pirush of Rashi, that the Makshava means that va'omer, they have to be saying something. But Makshava alone is not good enough. So two deus in Rishonim, what does it mean to be nosin? Does it mean that you machshava alone is good enough, even without a dibur, or that you at least need a dibur? So Tosfos tries to be marich to bring a raya that you don't even require a dibur. This comes up in a famous Chuvas Rabbi Kiva Eger. There's a Chuvas Rabbi Kiva Eger, Madura Kama Simul Chavtes, where his uncle writes to him that after he got married, he said that they made a suda in their city to celebrate the wedding of Rabbi Kiva Eger, even though Rabbi Kiva Eger was not in their city. It wasn't actually at the wedding, but a lot of relatives couldn't make it to the wedding, for whatever reason, like we have a lot of times now with the travel restrictions and pandemic and whatever, so a lot of relatives couldn't make it to the wedding, so they decided to make a su'udah in honor of the wedding. And at the su'udah, they were talking and learning, and Rabbi Shaya Pick was there, and they were discussing whether Afrash's Shuma works for Makshava, and the reason they and and they were mesakin a bracha on Parshas Truma, can you bring a raya from there that Chazal are mesakin a bracha even on a mitzvah that's done b'machshava without any maisa? And he says that Rav Elvel Eger held that even according to Tosos, that Truma d'Oraisa, hafrasha b'machshava does not work, that you have to do a maisa hafrasha al kol panim, and they were only matir to be mafresh by being nosin b'tzadzev olchu b'tzad acher b'dmai. But when it comes to a regular mitzvah, maybe it doesn't work. And this led to the whole discussion about being Yotzei Sfiras HaOmer B'Ksav. Do we say Ksiva Kedibur Dami, and therefore it's considered that as if you're doing a Maisa, and you could say a Bracha on such a Maisa, or you lose the Bracha, the ability to count later, once you wrote down the Sfira. So this Sugya is the basis of much of that discussion. Okay, says the Mishnah. Even shalpi achavis. If you have a rock that's on the opening of a barrel, so mata al tzidav yinofelas, you could lean the barrel over to its side, and the rock will fall right off. Haisa bein achavios. But if it's among a bunch of other barrels, and therefore you can't knock the barrel off because it's going to fall on another barrel and break it, then magbia. Then you can lift up the barrel with the rock on it. Umata al tzidav yinofelas. And then after you remove it from among the other barrels, you then lean it over, and the rock will fall off. Ma'ol shalakar. If you have money that's on a pillow, so you could just shake off the cushion, the pillow, and the money will fall off. If there's something disgusting like saliva or tsawa, so you can clean off the pillow with a shmata. If it was a leather pillow, so then you can clean it off with water until the disgusting thing is removed from it. But because putting water on R is not considered kibus, it's not considered a violation of being mechabes. But if it was made out of cloth, it would be a violation of being mechabes. This whole idea that you could just shake off the muktzah item is only if you accidentally left the muktzah item there. But if you dafka put it there on purpose, then it's considered a basl davra aser, and you're not allowed to move the thing that the muktzah item was on. We then said that if the barrel was among other barrels, so pick up the whole barrel, move it away, and then shake it off. So who's the Tana that taught our mission that holds that whenever you have a davra iser and a davra heter, you could be metaltel the davar heter and not be metaltel the davar iser, and therefore you could take the barrel with the rock on it, and we don't say, oh, that's considered as if you're being metaltel the rock, as if you're handling the muktzah, even though you are moving the rock agav the barrel. So that aligns with the shita of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, who learns such a shita within Beis Hillel. Because you have a Mishnah, Maseches Beitza, that a borer kitnis b'yom tov, a person is sorting out his kidneys, his beans on Yom Tov that has some psalas mixed in with them. You should pick out the edible parts and eat that. Pick out the beans and eat that and leave the psalas behind in the kli. Rabbi Sil says, no, you don't have to do that. Pick out whatever you would normally do. So if you would normally pick out the dirt, pick out the dirt and then eat the ochel that's left in the kli. But that can only be b'cheiko. That can only be like in your lap or something, a betamchoy, or in a large plate, but not in a kli that is used for long term borer, where you would be borer something for many days. The Tanya Amar Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel commented, Bamed var mamurim, when does Basil say that you're allowed to be borer the psalas from the ochel? That's how ochel meruba al psalas. That's if there's more ochel than there is psalas, so it would be a greater tircha to take the ochel. Avol psalas meruba al ochel, but if there's more psalas than there is ochel, and therefore would be a greater tircha to remove the psalas, tiriakol borer ochel, then everyone would agree that you're only allowed to take out the ochel from the psalas and not the opposite. Because since you're able to take out the ochel, which is mutter betiltel, and it's not going to be an extra tircha, so why would we allow you to handle the psalas, which is muktza? So our Mishnah, Rav Shimon Gamliel, says the same thing, that you should be tareach with the tiltel of the chavis, which is heter, and not with the tiltel of the even, which is muktza. Meaning, when given a choice, and the two choices are even, handle the mutter thing. Don't handle the aser thing. Don't handle the muktza item. So we don't tell you to take the rock off of the barrel. Pick up the mutter thing. Pick up the barrel. Bring it somewhere else. Shake the rock off. Same as with the ochel and the psalas, that if they're even or there's more psalas, handle the ochel, take the ochel out. Sami says, Gemara, wait a second, it's not a good parallel. In the case of the barrel, it's as if there's more ochel than there is psolas. Where Shem Gamliel said, you're allowed to take the psalus even though it's mutzah, because by being metalta the ochel, it would be more of a tircha. So over here, it's a greater tircha by carrying the barrel with the rock on it than by just taking the rock off of the barrel. So said, answer Gemara, now, hachanami, kibin di yibayin the mishkal, lo mishtakle yayin, ad shakala, ki psalus mruba ad shakala 11, ki psalus mruba ochel dami. That since the only way you're going to access the wine is by removing the rock anyway, if you want to empty out the wine, that's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to lift up the whole barrel anyway and lean it over, so then it's considered like psalus merubah le'ochel, because it's the same tircha you're going to have to do anyway if you want to access the wine. Ha'isav in a chavios, we said if the barrel is among other barrels, magbia, lift up the whole barrel, bring it somewhere else, and then tilt the rock off of it. So it says Martanya, Rabbi Yossi Omer, ha'isa ha'chavis munachas ba'otzer, if it was in a storage facility of barrels and you're worried that when you tilt it over it's going to break one of the other barrels, or there are glass kelim right underneath it that it could shatter if the rock falls off, then pick it up, bring it somewhere else, and be matir al tzida, and the rock will fall off on its own, and you can take out whatever wine you need from it, and then you can put the wine barrel back where it started. We then said that if you have money that's on a pillow, you could shake off the pillow. That's only if you forgot the money there. Avul b'maniach, but if you put the money there, al das, that it should stay there for Shabbos, nasas basas davra asr. Then it becomes a basas davra asr, becomes muksa, like the money itself, you're not allowed to shake it off. This din in our mission that you have to shake off the pillow and only then be metalta, that's only when you need the pillow itself to lie on, so then you can shake it off in order to use it. But if you need the place where the pillow is, then metalta, then you could lift up the entire pillow while the money is still on it, because if you were to shake it off first and the money were to fall, it would make it difficult to use the area, because the money would now be in the area that you want to use. So if it's Sarach Makoma, you need to clear out the whole space. That this requirement of shaking it off is only when it's a Sarach Gufo, but when it's a Sarach Makoma, you can be metaltal while the money is still on the pillow. We're going to stop there because I got to get to davening, but we'll stop there. But tomorrow we'll pick up at Ma'os Sha'alakar at the two dots. Have a good day.